Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ray, and welcome to the RayWenderlich.com podcast. In this podcast, we'll keep you up to date with the latest app development tech talk. Now, here are your hosts, Mick and Jake.
Today, we're talking about Apple's new Metal framework with Warren Moore, ex-Apple developer and author of the upcoming Metal by Example book. Hey, Warren, thanks for joining
us. Glad to be here.
Now, before we dive into Metal, Warren, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you first got into programming?
Sure, of course. Well, I've been programming since I was about 12 years old, so that goes way back. But I did a degree in software engineering, and then I became a freelance iOS app architect for a few years. I got the call from Apple in February of 2013, went in to work on iPhoto for Mac, helped ship photos for iOS 7, as well as iPhoto 2 for iOS. And earlier this year, I departed. And since then, I've pretty much been writing Metal by Example full time. I've been exploring topics in 3D rendering on Metal by Example, the blog, which will eventually be a book.
Fantastic. Now, normally, like, this is where we'd ask our guest if they're currently working on anything related to the topic we're talking about. Now, obviously, we've both mentioned your book, but I think it's also quite possible that some of our audience won't have heard of Metal. Or I've had a chance to dig in, or I've read the two articles that we've put out on RayWenderlich.com so far. So could you explain, like, in layman's terms, what Metal actually is?
Sure. I guess it helps to put it in context of 3D rendering. So Metal is the latest generation in rendering frameworks, and it is Apple-specific. But just to talk to the big picture, 3D graphics is, you know, what allows you to draw pictures in games and other applications that that require, you know, high performance visuals. So it basically is sort of a follow on to OpenGL ES that basically makes the graphics of the device much more performant. So that's sort of a really brief context for it.
So I wanted to kind of discuss just a little bit as we get into Metal, kind of what a little more about what OpenGL is, how it works, how you basically run code on the GPU versus the CPU, just to kind of give people who aren't graphics programmers some sense of how it works when you're using OpenGL, because I think that's kind of critical to understanding the benefits of Metal.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm more than happy to jump into a bit of a deeper explanation of that.
Could just kind of give like a step-by-step, like, how, when you run something on the GPU, how do you do it?
Absolutely. So to go back in history a little bit, 3D graphics used to use something called forward rendering, where basically you submit a list of triangles that compose the scene that you're trying to render, and they are passed through a series of what we call transformations, and that's basically to do with matrix multiplication. And then there would be, you know, additional operations performed on the vertices as they pass through this pipeline, as we say, such as lighting and shading and other visual effects. And then those triangles basically get broken up into what you see as pixels on the screen. So that's sort of what we call the fixed function pipeline. And that's the way things were up until about the mid-2000s when programmable GPUs were introduced. And what that allows you to do is to substitute your own code in a couple of those pipeline phases where you are responsible for actually doing all the math, all the matrix multiplications that, you know, move your vertices from where they exist in the virtual scene to where they are in front of the virtual camera. And another phase in the pipeline that you can replace is the shading portion, or the rasterization and fragment shading portions of the pipeline, where you essentially write these little programs called shaders. Metal calls them functions, same thing, that allow you to basically take much greater control over what winds up on the screen. So if you were writing a fragment shader, for example, you would essentially be computing the final color of each pixel on the screen, and you might make reference to textures or to a lighting model in order to determine the color of each pixel that comprises, in turn, each triangle in your virtual scene. So when you're writing for the GPU, essentially what you're doing is writing these little programs that run in a parallel fashion on the GPU. And I can speak in more detail about what exactly that means, what it means for the GPU to be a parallel processor. But that's essentially how the pipeline operates and where you get to inject yourself in the process these days.
Yeah, just to kind of say a couple things about that. So the way I think about it is you hand the GPU data, which is usually the form of vertices, which are what define the triangles. And those are, you know, points in 3D space. Mm-hmm. And then you hand it, you know, you might hand it colors to deal with those triangles. You might also hand it a texture, which is basically, I mean, we usually think of it as a PNG, but there's all kinds of formats. That texture might define what colors get painted on those vertices. And then you also hand the GPU the shader, or the shaders in the case of a vertex and a fragment shader. And then it does this thing where it basically takes all that information, which represents, you know, three dimensions, and it flattens it into what a camera would see in two dimensions. Is that all accurate enough?
Oh yeah, that's all very much accurate. Yeah, okay. Yeah. The whole process is about creating you know, an image on a 2D surface that represents a projection of a three-dimensional scene, as we say.
Okay. And then, I mean, a couple of the things about a GPU is they're, for what they do, they're much, much fat. They can accomplish this task much faster than the CPU, partially
right,
because
yeah.
they, go ahead.
Yeah, just to speak to that in a little bit more detail. The reason that a GPU is so fast at these things is because it's essentially a collection of very specialized vertex stream processors. So it's not a fully generalized CPU core, but a given GPU chip might have, you know, many hundreds of these little tiny cores that are good at doing, say, multiplying vectors together or adding vectors together. And it can do many thousands of these operations at once across, you know, an entire, say, triangle or a portion of the scene. And that parallelism, the fact that it can operate on a lot of different data in lockstep, is what allows you to render things quickly, whereas a CPU might be good at doing a lot of different things to a slightly smaller degree of parallelism.
What does Metal do for us that we couldn't do with OpenGL, or how does it improve the situation from where we were before?
Right. So the big banner, you know, marketing phrase for this thing is that it allows you to increase your draw calls by 10x, you know, by essentially 1,000%, right? So what that actually means in practice is that you can render a lot more geometry on the screen as compared to previous generations of graphics frameworks. So OpenGL essentially has a bit more overhead in terms of packaging up these draw calls, which are basically requests to render triangles to the screen. And Metal allows you to submit many more of those per frame. So what that translates into in practice is essentially, you know, bigger explosions, more, you know, enemies on the screen in your games and so forth. It basically allows you to push a lot more geometry through the pipeline while reducing CPU overhead and conserving power as well.
So have you, in your experiments and the work that you've been doing, have you found the performance improvement to be dramatic? Because obviously that's a statistic based on a kind of a narrow, I mean it's an important part of the pipeline, but it's also not the whole picture. It's not just, everything's not just 10 times faster.
Absolutely.
So what,
not
kind of so what have you experienced?
Yeah, it's very important to step back that expectation. Certainly not, your application is not going to run 10 times faster. It just means that you can push more geometry. To speak to in more practical terms, when Unity were implementing their renderer in terms of Metal, which has just very recently entered public beta, they said that they saw a 15 to 40% decrease in CPU usage when rendering. And what that means is that that's going to give back a lot of CPU time to do things like physics and AI. And so you're not spending as much time burning CPU cycles on the unnecessary overhead that that OpenGL really, you know, forces you to do. Because and maybe I can speak to one of the things that Metal does that actually causes this performance increase, and that is it precompiled graphics states. So essentially, you specify which vertex shader, which fragment shader you're using, and a number of other render states. Those all get bundled together into a compiled object, which can then be referenced in a render pass. And what that means is that there are relatively few state changes that you have to make between draw calls or when that then have to be validated, that is to say, when drawing. Whereas OpenGL, for every state change that you make, it could, you know, it requires validation, and it, in the worst case, it requires on-the-fly shader recompilation in order to optimize around the change that was made. So Metal mitigates some of these runtime costs by trying to push as much of that computation up front as possible, and then it's just essentially switching among these precompiled render states. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So does that mean I've heard Metal described as a, like, obviously the name comes from being closer to the metal, so they're trying to say this is a lower level framework language API. But to me, OpenGL was already pretty low level compared to the Objective-C that I'm used to. So, I mean, how much lower level is it? How much more work do I need to do, and how much harder is it to work with the Metal API than? And I'm not talking specifically about the shading language, but just, you know, okay, setting up the state, as you mentioned, and, you know, shipping over Vertex data and all that stuff. How much more work do I have to do, and how much more difficult is it? Because OpenGL is not easy.
No, OpenGL is not easy. And I guess in terms of, you know, just to speak to how difficult it may be to learn or to use one versus the other, the main disadvantage of using OpenGL in terms of its API is that the API is enormous. I mean, OpenGL is more than 20 years old, probably 25 years old at this point, and a lot of, you know, historical cruft has crept in over the years. This has been mitigated somewhat by things like core profiles on desktop GL and the fact that GLES left behind a lot of that legacy, but it still feels like it has a really big surface area. And Metal has an extremely small surface area. You know, there's only a handful of classes that you're dealing with. And so in terms of learning the entirety of it, Metal is a lot more tractable in that regard. But in terms of working with the lower level aspects of it, I would say, you know, you are more responsible for things like multi-threading and ensuring that there is no resource contention, because the buffers that you're working with, the textures that you're working with, are essentially sitting in shared memory between the CPU and GPU. So you have to be more mindful of when you're accessing these things. Whereas OpenGL, you know, when you bind a texture, you upload texture data that actually gets copied behind the scenes, and that provides, you know, a measure of safety. So essentially, you have to be more mindful of resource access and multi-threading.
The RayWenderlich.com podcast will be right back. But first, a message from our sponsor.
Mandrill is a scalable, reliable, and secure email infrastructure service from the folks at MailChimp. Already trusted by more than 300,000 customers, it's easy to set up and integrate with existing apps. And it's really fast, too. With servers all over the world, Mandrill can deliver your email in milliseconds. Detailed delivery reports, advanced analytics, and a friendly interface mean your entire team, from developers to marketers, can easily monitor and evaluate email performance. Integrate, deliver, track, and analyze email infrastructure from Mandrill. Mandrill is offering the Ray Wenderlich podcast listeners a special deal. Sign up at Mandrill.com with the promo code RAY, and you'll receive 50,000 free email sends per month for your first 6 months of service.
But one question that I had, Warren,
sure,
was, I mean, obviously on the desktop we have access to OpenCL, mm-hmm, which is levering the GPU in ways other than for 3D graphics. We don't have that on the devices, but I believe that Metal gives us something similar.
Right. So you may be aware that compute shaders are introduced in the OpenGL ES 3.1 standard, which has not yet been implemented on a lot of mobile platforms. But Metal has introduced the compute shaders with its own shading language. And so essentially, it's analogous to writing a vertex shader or a fragment shader. You basically write a compute kernel, which is executed in a massively parallel fashion on the GPU. So that's what is roughly analogous to OpenCL on iOS now.
Okay, and you sort of mentioned the compute kernel there. Could you expand a little on what that is?
Sure. So much in the same way that you would write a fragment shader that would be responsible for, you know, computing the color of all the fragments that are all the pixels that wind up appearing on screen, a compute kernel basically allows you to iterate over a buffer or a texture or some other resource and perform whatever computation is necessary at each point. So a number of applications of this might be video transcoding or computed tomography or fluid dynamics, essentially any sort of computation that benefits from these vectorized SIMD computations that can be performed in a parallel fashion.
It might be useful at this point just to talk a little bit about kind of some contrived simple examples. So like in the case of a vertex shader, what basically a vertex shader looks like, because the GLSL language is not that complex. It's usually, if you're a programmer, you can look at some GLSL code and get a sense for what it's doing. But with like a vertex shader, for example, you're given a set of points of vertices that define the triangles. And in your vertex shader, you can, you know, scale them down and move them around, do whatever you want. And then at the end of the vertex shader, you return kind of the final position of each point based on the transformations. And then in the case of the fragment shader, you are given some color or texture if you're passing in, like, if a model is being texture mapped, then you're given a point often on the texture, and you can then manipulate the point from the texture that you're reading from, the color from, or you can just calculate a color, right, based on other information. So the individual it depends on lighting, and these things can get sophisticated, but compared to, like, you know, a view controller class, it's not, you know, thousands of lines of code usually for these shaders.
Right. Yeah. So just to speak to that, you know, Metal code is not substantially more complex than GLSL. In fact, if you look at the internals of, if you look at the source code of a Metal fragment function, you'll find that it looks actually extremely similar to GLSL code. So I would say that, you know, they definitely took a lot of hints from GLSL when writing the Metal shading language, barring the fact that it is based on the C++ 11 standard rather than just regular old C. But to give an example of how a compute shader would actually function, then maybe you have a texture that represents, let's say, a height field, and it represents, like, you know, the surface of an ocean or what have you. And you want to compute the motion of that water. And you might also have an additional texture that represents the velocity field or a force field to be applied with that. So essentially you would, in a compute shader, iterate over every point in the velocity field and, let's say, compute, you know, the Navier-Stokes equations or whatever function you're using to do your fluid dynamics computation, and basically iterate through all the points on the field, applying, you know, your physical calculations to it, and the output of that process would be essentially the next, you know, height map, which you can then go on to render in 3D. But compute shaders are just a way of doing that massive computation for things that are not going to be immediately rendered to the screen, but they can be used in tandem with things that wind up being rendered.
I know on your blog, I think you have an example of image processing that uses a compute shader. Is that right?
Indeed, yeah.
So that seems like a common use case for OpenCL or a compute shader, or even OpenGL. I mean, I use GPUImage a lot, which just does it in OpenGL. Are there other good examples of things that might that an average developer might think, oh, I could use a compute shader to do, like, besides fluid simulation, which you just mentioned, and image processing, I have a hard time coming up with good examples of cool things you could do by, you know, offloading massive parallel computation onto the GPU, but I'm sure they're out there.
Oh, I'm sure they are. And so take for instance, the flock dynamics in the Epic Zen Garden example. So I don't know that they did, but you could offload the behavioral dynamics of the koi in the pond and the fluttering butterflies, essentially writing a compute shader that represents the artificial intelligence, because it's very, very simple. Essentially, they just, you know, sort of spiral around a particular point in space. So if that point in space were a parameter to your compute shader, then you could basically have the state of each of these little boids, each of these little koi fish, in a metal buffer and then use a compute shader to compute their artificial intelligence, such as it is, on the GPU.
I guess one thing we could do with it is, I do a lot with like Sprite Kit and gaming, is you could write a particle engine that ought to run much faster on the GPU than the CPU.
Absolutely. I mean, particle systems essentially are just differential equations. So you can more or less, you know, integrate the particle system ODEs on the GPU and then use that as to drive the dynamics of your particle system. That's another fine example. Yeah.
So just to change direction a little bit, are there any instances now that I should choose OpenGL over Metal? Now Metal's available, other than portability, because obviously OpenGL is available on other platforms.
Are there reasons that you would choose OpenGL over Metal for the moment? Absolutely. You can't target any device with, you know, a processor prior to the A7 or running prior to iOS 7. So if you regard it as important, if your target market is on these older devices, you know, iPhone 4, iPhone 4S, or running iOS 7, then Metal is a total non-starter there. The reason that I'm writing about Metal now is so that early adopters and middleware developers have the time to implement it. But I would say that if you're doing greenfield development and you're only going to target one graphics API, Metal may not be the place for you as of today. But I think within another release cycle, you're going to see that the benefits greatly outweigh the cost of, you know, targeting these older devices and platforms. But that's a calculation that you have to make for whatever application you're writing.
For somebody that's like thinking about learning graphics programming, would you suggest they start with OpenGL and then move to Metal? Or if they're just kind of a hobbyist and they're not planning on deploying anything immediately, would you recommend people start with Metal if they're assuming they're committed to the iOS platform?
I would say that the concepts are extremely similar between the two. And so 80% of what you're going to learn is transferable between the two. There are certainly a lot more resources out there. The Arc Synthesis Modern OpenGL tutorials are an excellent resource for learning 3D rendering from the ground up that is actually applicable to both. Even though it's phrased in terms of GLSL, you could essentially port that over to Metal. So I would say, unfortunately, as of today, there are not a lot of good resources for learning 3D from the ground up with an eye on writing in Metal. But the silver lining is that there's a lot of great 3D rendering content out there, and Metal is not so radically different that you couldn't say, you know, read those modern OpenGL tutorials and then maybe supplement them with content from my blog and from Apple's documentation and essentially teach yourself Metal sort of as a follow-on to learning some of those more fundamental concepts.
So you mentioned your blog there, and earlier on when we did the introductions, we mentioned your book. Can you tell us a little bit more about your book?
Sure. So I've been, well, I'll start with the blog, because the blog is essentially going to turn into the book. So for the past 5 months, I've been writing about foundational concepts in 3D rendering as implemented in Metal. And the blog has been quite popular among people that are trying to learn this stuff. And what I want to do with the book is hopefully in the first quarter of 2015, basically gather together some of the content from the blog, expand it with additional exclusive content, get it professionally edited, and publish it. So that's sort of the arc for that.
How broadly do you think Metal knowledge is useful for developers? Like, who should learn to use Metal, or even OpenGL for that matter? Like, just people that are working on Unity, on the internals of Unity, or do you think that there's a benefit to a broader iOS developer audience?
I would say that being pretty much the lowest level graphics API on iOS, certainly Metal is not something that everybody's going to need to learn. You have high level interfaces like Sprite Kit, Scene Kit, so you can use those instead. I really think that at the present time, middleware developers are the ones that are going to benefit most from this, but obviously the curious hobbyist that actually wants to squeeze every last ounce of performance out of these devices, they would be the ones that are benefiting most from this. If you actually care about the internals and you actually need ultra high performance, then I would say learning Metal is for you.
right. Do you have anything, like, as you were kind of digging through the API and becoming kind of an expert on it as you're writing the book, do you have your eye on any projects that you're going to kind of do? I mean, are you thinking about writing a 3D engine? Are you, if you got your eye on any kind of fancy, you know, calculator that can do super data dense 3D calculations?
Well, certainly writing a 3D engine is a pretty ambitious project. I don't really have anything lined up right now. I'm just focusing on writing as many samples as I can for people to consume. But we'll see what I get into in the future.
Okay, chaps. I think that's probably a good place to wrap things up. Warren, thanks again for joining us.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
And we'll make sure to add a link to your site in the show notes.
Great.
And that's it for another episode. As always, if you have any questions or feedback, then please don't hesitate to get in touch via podcast@raywenderlich.com. And if you enjoy the podcast, please do leave a review on iTunes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to the raywenderlich.com podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and don't forget to leave a rating on iTunes. See you next time.